This morning our theme was from the life of Elijah, as the Lord God liveth before whom I stand, standing in the presence of the Lord and the consequences and effect of it. And I want to try to continue that theme briefly tonight as we look at verses there at the end of that chapter. We read 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Standing this time in the day of judgment before our God. The morning study was in the life of Elijah, the key that we discovered and set out, the key of his life, the key of his ministry, the way in which he was constantly aware of and sensitive to the scrutiny of the Lord God upon him in his thinking and in all that he did. The Lord is the one who sees him, who knows him, and the one who intervenes on his behalf to protect him, preserve and provide for him. That awareness had tremendous effects in the life of Elijah in different ways. We mentioned it, the way in which it was a stimulus to his service. He came with a message to the king. It was a message of judgment that there was going to be no rain, and that simply because of the sin of the people. And the focus of his thoughts, of the life of the focus of the thoughts of Elijah, were Deuteronomy chapter 11 and 16, 17, where that's the very specific consequence of the behavior of the people who do not walk in the ways the Lord has set out for them. And Elijah latches on to that, and being jealous for the reputation and the honor of God, prays for it and continues to seek that God would do exactly as he has said, and that the Lord would come and reveal to them, as Elijah himself knew, that indeed the Lord is the living God. He stands before him. The service that he rendered, the way in which that same theme was had an effect rather upon him, in the way in which he met with Obadiah, and there was this fear on the part of Obadiah that whenever Obadiah went to tell the king where Elijah was, that Elijah would just simply move on and Obadiah would be at default and have the displeasure of the king. And Elijah says, as the Lord God liveth, I'm going to stay here until you find me. Naaman came with a blessing to give to him as a consequence of being healed by Elisha and the words that he gave him. And the same scrutiny, the same invocation is given by Elisha. As the Lord God liveth, I'm going to have nothing to do with what you're offering. But there's one other portion which we didn't touch on this morning, which is significant perhaps for our study tonight. There was one occasion where the king of Israel wanted the help of Elisha. But for so long in the king's life, he had completely ignored what God had to say. He disregarded everything that God said, put no weight on it, and gave it no place in his life or in the nation. But then he came into a tight corner, and there were three kings together: the king of Israel, but also Jehoshaphat. And they needed help. And they went to ask Elisha to give them that help they needed against other kings. And Elisha turns and he says this to the king of Israel: as the Lord God liveth, I'm going to speak to you. And I'm going to say it not because I regard you, but because I regard Jehoshaphat in your company. As the Lord God listens to what you say and sees the way that you live, were it not for Jehoshaphat amongst you, I would have no dealings with you. The solemnity of that word is brought out again by that invoking of the nearness of the Lord God standing amongst them. Make no mistake about the conversation that is taking place. It's not to favor you. It's only because of someone else. And he wants to give impress. He wants to give weight to these words. He wants to make a solemn point. And so he brings him into the courts of heaven. He brings him in to the presence of the God Almighty. The way in which that phrase and that theme influenced the life of Elisha and Elijah, standing before God, the way in which it's seen in so many different aspects of their life. But now tonight I want us to think of that same phrase, standing before God, but this time a different scene, a more solemn scene, standing before God in judgment. We all must appear before that great throne and receive for the deeds done in the flesh. The gospel that we preach is a gospel that invites people, it applies to people, it reaches to all people, publicans and sinners alike, but it doesn't allow people to remain in that condition. It prepares them to appear before the holy God, a God who has set out certain standards for those who will be in his company. And the only one that can make us acceptable for God and in God's sight is his own Son, who has righteousness that alone will fit us to appear. But there are so many who think that what they've got is adequate. There are so many people who think today that what they've got, they're ready to meet God in their own efforts and by their own attainments. But the reality is totally different. If that's the way people go to meet God, there is going to be a profound disappointment and they are going to be let down. But when it happens, there will be no opportunity to put it right. And so the gospel gives us warnings. The gospel gives us opportunities. And how are we using them? Too late it will be to find out that we don't measure up. That we've got nothing to say. That we're utterly speechless. Standing before God on the day of judgment, what will we say? What will be our confidence? What will be our boldness? Standing before God, what will we lean on? What will our argument be? If we're trying by our own efforts, then we will be utterly disappointed and let down. But the Christian, on the other hand, we're told we will have a confidence. We will have a boldness. We do have an argument. We have something we can say. We have somewhere we can stand. The only way we can be ready to stand on that day is to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this day. The only way that we can be ready to stand on that day is to have faith in Christ this day. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are able to cope with and to face momentous events. Psalm 46 speaks about and describes some of the scale of these events. God is our refuge and our strength as these events come upon us. But there is one tremendously important and momentous event. One event that goes beyond the descriptions even given to us in Psalm 46. There is an earth-shattering event that we all have to face. When death comes, or when the Lord returns, he will come and there will then follow his judgment, the holy God, the God who knows us all and the God who judges us perfectly. That's a fearful day. That is one momentous event. How will we face it? How will we cope with that prospect? How will we do? And the question is to be asked tonight, and it is this: how will we do standing before the Lord on that day? I want to answer the question and to bring it home out of this verse simply for us tonight. Because there are three simple thoughts I want to bring out. And the first one is this, that here we have protection. John has been writing and he's been saying, and now little children, he's saying it, he's concluding, and he's saying to these people, what's he saying to them? What is going to be their protection through life? He says, abide in him. Whatever comes your way, whatever eventuality is round the corner of life for you tomorrow, whatever the future might hold for you, whatever is in store for your life, this is the one thing that will stand the test of every variety that comes to any one of us. John says, abide in Christ. The Christian life is indeed a dangerous life because there's so much opposition. And here he is saying, we should be like the branch, drawing on the strength and the vitality of the one who is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Abide in him. There's no greater joy to be close to our Savior Jesus. We've tasted of his grace. We've known his peace coming into our lives. So therefore, there is nothing more precious to us than walking in his company and being at peace with our God. There is nothing more precious than having the countenance of the Lord lifted upon us and the blessing of the Lord upon us. There is nothing more precious than being upheld by the arms of God when we're in weakness, and to know that longing deep in our hearts being met as we discover more and more of what he has done and what he has provided for his people. There is nothing more precious than abiding with him. And when he comes and he opens his own word as he did to the people on the road to Emmaus, and he shows to us great, precious, spiritual treasures. Yes, that's the protection that the Christian has. Abide in him to keep our spiritual life healthy and growing and effective in its witness. Don't stray, but stay close. Stay close for our own satisfaction, for our own service, but especially when danger threatens. Danger that threatens through temptation, through opposition, persecution, so many different forms it might take. Stay close to our Lord and our God. We can sometimes wander and meander. We can be like sheep. There is the seduction of the world. There's doubts that can be thrown at us. There's so many different dangers that threaten us. And we're told, stay close. Keep your feet on the foundation and your gaze upon your Savior. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The love that he showed when he gave himself on the cross and died to pardon our sins. Keep that as the uppermost, the dominant theme and meditation and reflection of our souls. That's what John is saying to these people. That's what he's saying to us. Rest in Jesus our Lord. And one day, though, one day that pilgrim journey will be over. One day the course of our life will be done. One day there will be nothing left of the sands in the hourglass to pass through it. Perhaps a ripple of anxiety crosses us when we come to face the end of our journey. He will come and he will take his own to be with himself in a place that he's prepared for them, there to abide with them forever. But that's going to be a totally new experience. There's going to be huge cosmic changes take place. There, when the Lord comes for his own, there's going to be a huge change in the heavens and in the earth. How are we going to cope with that transformation? The same confidence in life, the same confidence in death, and the same confidence in judgment. Abide in him. The Lord is our dwelling place and our delight through all the pages and stages of our living. The Lord is the one whom we love and who meets us and blesses us each day's journey in the pilgrim journey. And he will not abandon us, nor will he leave us when it comes to that great final change of all, when death comes. And beyond that, when there is this tremendous assize of the great white throne and the assize of the day of judgment. On that day when the issues will be resolved for all eternity. On that day when the things of life will be scrutinized and judged fully and completely and perfectly. On that day, we can possess our souls in peace. If we are abiding in Jesus Christ now, we abide in him through death. And we abide in him on the day of judgment. How will we do in our standing before the Lord? What is our protection? We abide in him. But there's something else that John says to us here. And he says, and now, little children, what are we? What do we have as we travel toward, as we travel in life and as we go towards death? Sometimes that can be used to shake us, to cause us to wobble, to lose something of our joy when the past is raked up before us. And it's in that moment that we need to realize what John is saying to these people and how he's addressing them. He says, little children, we need to realize who we are if we are believing in Jesus Christ this evening. We are children in his family. Children adopted in his grace and brought under his interest. We are children that have been brought in through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, his own Son. Not because of anything attractive in us, but simply because of his resolution in eternity. We can look at ourselves and we can see so much that would disqualify us. But the Lord has said, this one, that one, and the next one is mine. We are the sheep of his flock. We are children in his family. We have the breadth of that love of God round about us and sustaining us. John, the one that wrote these words, is often described the disciple of love. And his heart goes out and his words hold on to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to his own people and to the experience of that love by his people day after day. Little children, that term of endearment, that simple description which brings home the affection in which every one of his children are held by our Heavenly Father. There's nothing too costly. There's nothing too great. Go back to Isaiah 43:4, and it says, I loved you and I gave nation upon nation for you. I have redeemed you and I won't pass you by or forget you. The shepherd who goes out seeking the lost, the lengths he goes to find and to bring back and to return with them. So often we seek to set limits on the breadth of God's care for his people. We are sometimes a little bit slow, if not reluctant, to lean upon the full scope of the love that God has for his people. We try to limit it in some way, fearing that it just can't be that broad and wide and deep. But we need to soak our souls in God's statement of love for his people. We depend upon him. As a nurse feeds, carries, and bears a child, shows love, interest, and care. But the Father is the one who loves and cares beyond and above every human illustration and example. God in his grace has called us and we are his. We've already referred to Isaiah 43. Go right back to the very beginning of it itself, and he says this: But now thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Thou art precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved you. So amazing, so simple the words, but how rich for the Lord's people. This is what we are. We are his children, with all that that means, all that that carries, all of the comfort that that brings to his people. Our position. And what does all this mean as we lead up now to what this verse is talking about? What is it that we have? And now, little children, abide in him. He's building up to something and he's coming to this standing before the Lord. He says, abide in him so that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. What is it that the Christian has? As we come towards that time of judgment, as we all of us have to stand before that great judgment seat, what is the confidence the Christian has? We depend upon Christ. This coming of the Lord, this appearing of the Lord, isn't something that is to the edge of the teaching of the New Testament. There are 318 references to the coming of the Lord in the 260 chapters that are in the New Testament. It's not a peripheral thing, it's something that's central. He is not here, he's risen, he's ascended, he rules in heaven, but one day he's going to return. And he's going to appear so that all people will see him. And he's going to shake the heavens and the earth. And he's going to summon all people before that throne as judgment is committed to his hand. How are we going to cope? How are we going to survive and go through that great confrontation? How are we going to do standing before the Lord? John tells us we may have confidence. We may have something to say. We have, and the word is used in other places in the New Testament, and it's translated, we have a boldness to speak and to claim the work of our Lord. We will not be intimidated, and it is going to be a fearful scene. We've talked about cosmic changes. We've talked about the angels. That's what the scripture speaks about. We've shows us great images of the coming of the Lord and of this day of judgment, and it's a tremendous event. But we will not be shocked by it or stunned by it or silenced by it. We will not be intimidated by either the place or the people who are there. There will be a boldness upon the Christian to speak of one simple thing, to hold on to and to put our faith and our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will speak of one person and of one thing. We will speak of him who died in my place. The one who died that I might go free. The one who took all that was due to me, that I might have peace. We come and we stand on that foundation, and we come underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. We speak of the one whom we know as our friend, our Savior, our Lord. That confidence the Christian has then. There are going to be some on that day, and there are going to be some who are going to stand before the Lord, and they're going to be utterly silenced. They will have nothing to say, because nothing they can say will stand the demands of the day and the need of the hour. When we've got to face a God in holiness and with justice and with righteousness, and we try to set out our own flimsy efforts, possessions and abilities, our own achievements at our own hand, these things simply will not measure up to the demand of that day. We need something much more substantial. We need something much more strong. We need something that will stand the test and the scrutiny of the eye and the standard of a holy God. And those who have not the Lord, they will be reduced to silence. They will be utterly silent before God. But the Christian has a confidence. When the whole of life is unrolled and unfolded, when everything is set out and explanations are requested of this, of that and the other, the one thing that we can speak of is what we speak of now and is our delight now and will be our defense then: the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there is going to be a great change one day involving us all. Yes, there's going to be a great scene portrayed, and every one of us will stand alone on that day. But for the Christian, we are not afraid. Despite all the changes that are involved, our argument is simply, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. We come before God underneath the shelter of his covenant of his provision. We come underneath the provision and the shelter of all that God's arrangements have been. The way in which the Lord has made abundant, resplendent, glorious provision for every one of his children. We ask the question then as we close, what will we do when we stand before God on that day? We've asked the question and we've looked at it this morning about standing before God in the days of our life. We change the focus to the day of judgment, that day. Will there be confusion of face? Will we be tongue-tied and lost for words? Or will we have a confidence and a boldness? Will there be with us a freedom to speak and to speak simply and plainly of the one whom we love because he first loved us? The one whom we delight in now and the one we trust in and rely on then. See what he says as he closes. We have confidence, and with that confidence, we shall not be ashamed before him at his coming. That is a great day. The issues, as we said, of eternity will be determined on that day. It's a day of weighty consequence. It's a day of fearful judgment. And as we trust in Christ, we will not be ashamed before him. We will not be let down. We will not be disappointed. As we have trusted him and relied upon him and put him to the test countless times in life, we can all of us think of many ways in which we have taken him at his word and trusted in him and found him never to be wanting. And that confidence will carry forward to the last great day of all. And as we stand there and put our confidence in him once again, trust in what he has said, his word. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. That's our hope now, and it will be our hope then. And as we hold on to that hope, and as we plead that word, we will not be ashamed, not let down, not disappointed. The Lord will put his arm around the shoulder, using the image of Hebrews 2. I and the brethren the Lord has given me. The Lord will put his hand round the shoulder of every one of his children. And he'll say, this one is mine. He will not be ashamed of us. We must therefore not be ashamed of him. And therefore we should speak of him and commend him to others round about, that they too might join with us. And when that day comes, and when each, us and others, have to stand before that throne, the question, how will we do standing before him? The only answer we can give, the only boast that we've got, the only thing that will stand the test of that fearful place, Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Saviour, who gave his life for his people, that they may go free. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we bless thy name for the way in which thou dost bring before us solemn truth, the way in which thou dost break into our thinking and bring before us realities that are yet in prospect, things that possibly are dismissed and discounted by so many round about us. But they do so to their own loss. And we pray, Lord, that what thou hast given to us this day may remain with us. And we ask of thee, O Lord God, that thou wouldst bring these thoughts vividly and powerfully in application to our thinking and to our living. And we ask of thee, O Lord, that in thy grace thou wouldst speak to us and call us and enable us to put our faith and confidence in that one person and that one argument that alone will stand us in good stead when that day comes to us. Help us, Lord, to trust in Jesus Christ, for we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. We close by singing in Psalm 16. Psalm 16 and the last four verses. Before me still the Lord I set. Sith it is so that he doth ever stand at my right hand, I shall not move be. Because of this my heart is glad and joy shall be expressed, even by my glory and my flesh in confidence to rest. Because my soul in grave to dwell shall not be left by thee, nor wilt thou give thine Holy One corruption to see. Thou wilt me show the path of life, of joys there is full store. Before thy face, at thy right hand, are pleasures evermore. 16 at verse 8 to the end, before me still the Lord I set. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.